The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from teenvogue.com. Renee Rapp and Toa Bird's Complete Relationship Timeline. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on June 3rd. Renee Rapp and Toa Bird have got to be one of our favorite couples in the music business, and what better way to celebrate their love than by revisiting their complete relationship timeline? In case you are new here, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird have been romantically linked since they hard-launched their relationship at the Vanity Fair Oscars after-party in 2024. But the pair's story begins way before then. A little intro to Toa Bird. She was born in Hong Kong to British and Filipino parents. She was raised in Hong Kong and Thailand before fully settling in London to study. While working towards a degree at Goldsmiths University, Bird started playing the guitar for Cassiette before her TikToks gained the attention of Olivia Rodrigo, who poached her to be part of her Sour documentary, Driving Home to You. She has since relocated to Los Angeles, where Rapp also resides. Rapp first hinted at having a romantic partner in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, also in February, where she opened up about identifying as a lesbian. "I've only recently started referring to myself as a lesbian, and I've only recently been in a relationship where I'm like, yeah, I'm a lesbian for sure," Rapp said. "I'm watching all these movies and parts of gay culture, specifically lesbian culture, and I'm like, I love this. It's been the most rewarding, validating, scary, and exciting experience ever." Clearly, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird are a match made in heaven, in music and beyond. So let's revisit their relationship timeline below. June 2025, Renee Rapp opens up about wanting to marry Toa Bird. In a cover interview for Cosmopolitan, Renee Rapp opened up about her relationship with Toa Bird, admitting she wants to be her forever and ever, and revealing she's the person I love and I want to marry. She also revealed their relationship is very much monogamous, and she enjoys it that way. Further opening up about Bird, Rapp said, "She's my best friend. I worship her. I love talking to her. And I also just love watching her talk. There's something so special about watching the person you are deeply enamored with talk about something they find interesting that has nothing to do with you. Which is rare because I think I'm the center of everyone's world, and especially hers. And I am, clock it. But hearing her talk about streaming her stuff on Twitch, she's just such a little freak. She's this hot, sexy, intimidating thing, but I know a side of her that's such a weirdo. Every now and again, we'll look at each other and we'll be like, oh, it makes so much sense that we were ugly kids, but we're not now. You know what I mean?" Rapp also said her relationship with Bird flowed naturally, and she was able to open up to her because I didn't feel like she was using me at all. "My friends have come up to me with other partners and been like, hey, just so you know, this person does not care about you in the slightest and is using you for your house, your friends, your job, your connections, your everything, Rapp explained. Every other serious relationship I have been in, that has been the story. I used to think it was really annoying when celebrities would talk about how hard it is to feel that way. Like, cry yourself an effing river, you have the most access in the world. And that is true, but I do get it now. May 2025, Renee Rapp recounts meeting Toa Bird for the first time. Appearing with the Good Hang with Amy Poehler podcast, Renee Rapp opened up about her and Toa Bird's first time meeting. The star admitted she had her eye on Bird before even meeting because she thought she was super talented, really sexy, and so effing cool. Rapp revealed she had asked one of her close friends to introduce her to Bird, but she was told Bird was not in a place in her life to meet anyone at the time. And Rapp wasn't either, but she was set on meeting her. "We needed to at least be friends," Rapp said. After they were ultimately introduced, Rapp quipped that Bird was so effing mean to her, and she loved it. During their next meeting, she out-flirted Rapp, and the rest, as they say, is history. Rapp also revealed that the duo said "I love you" to each other during a break on the beach with TikToker Flossy Baby nearby. April 12, 2025, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird pack on the PDA at a Coachella party. Toa Bird and Renee Rapp attended the 2025 Interscope and Capitol Records Coachella party on April 12, 2025, in Palm Springs, California, and took the chance to pose together for the cameras, even sharing a little cheeky kiss action. March 11, 2025, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird make their joint PFW debut. Over on the other side of the pond, Bird and Rapp made their joint Paris Fashion Week debut, attending the Miu Miu Women's Wear Fall-Winter 2025 dinner party on March 11, 2025, wearing complete looks by the brand. May 11, 2024, Toa Bird and Renee Rapp attend the Gold House 2024 Inaugural Gold Gala. Renee Rapp supported Toa Bird at the Gold House 2024 Inaugural Gold Gala held at the Music Center in Los Angeles, California. The duo arrived rocking monochromatic fits, Rapp in all denim, and Bird in a red suit. April 2024, Toa Bird joins Renee Rapp on stage and backstage during both weekends of Coachella. Toa Bird joined Renee Rapp on stage during both weekends of Coachella 2024, playing guitar alongside her on the outdoor theater. The pair also attended the Interscope and Capitol Records Coachella party on April 13, 2024, in Palm Springs, California. March 10, 2024. Renee Rapp and Toa Bird make their red carpet debut. Shortly after the Oscars 2024 ceremony, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird made their red carpet debut as a couple at Vanity Fair's famed after party. Rapp and Bird first posed separately for photographers before taking a handful of snaps together. For the occasion, Bird wore a 70s-inspired reverse tie-dye denim blazer embellished with studs and embroidered birds. She completed the look with matching flared pants and a black blouse underneath. Rapp, on the other hand, opted for a flowy white dress with a plunging neckline and a thigh-high slit, which she paired with sheer black tights and black stiletto pumps. Rapp and Bird's red carpet moment caused a stir among fans who have been speculating about the nature of their relationship for weeks, wondering if they could be linked romantically. While their red carpet moment indeed looked like a hard launch, it's worth noting that neither Rapp nor Bird had publicly labeled their relationship at the time. September 2023 to March 2024. Renee Rapp and Toa Bird go on tour together. Toa Bird actually served as the opening act on Rapp's Snow Hard Feelings tour across the U.S. and Europe in 2023. Rapp wrapped up the tour with a show in Dublin, Ireland on March 4, 2024, but Bird and Rapp had been friends long before the tour. In an interview with Them from February 2024, Bird said she and Rapp are incredibly close. Speaking about their time together on the road, she added, "We would hang out backstage and then go and do our sets, and then come back and hang out together again." April 2023, Renee Rapp and Toa Bird do Coachella together. The duo was first spotted at Coachella in 2023, posing together at an off-site party. The duo was all smiles, posing together backstage in what would later become their yearly tradition. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com. Diet culture's dirty secret. It's making you heavier. This article was written by Nora Nair on May 27th. We inhabit a culture where shrinking our bodies is a moral imperative. The diet industry instructs us that thinness equals health, happiness, and self-worth. But the truth is not that simple, and far more dangerous. Ironically, the same industry that boasts of battling obesity is likely fueling it. The science of yo-yo dieting, a metabolic nightmare. Yo-yo dieting, or weight cycling, is the repetitive cycle of losing and regaining body weight, something that virtually all commercial diets guarantee. In a 2020 study conducted by the BMJ, more than 80% of individuals who lost weight on dieting regained it after 5 years, frequently weighing more than they had at the start. But why does this happen? Metabolic adaptation. When you drastically reduce calories, your body perceives that it is kind of under siege, similar to during a famine. To get by, your basal metabolic rate, BMR, slows, so you burn fewer calories at rest. This slowing of metabolism can persist for a very long time after dieting, making it extremely difficult to keep weight off, reports a study in Obesity Reviews. Hormonal chaos. Dieting interferes with your hunger hormones. Leptin, the signal that tells your body that you are full, decreases, while ghrelin, the signal that tells your body that you are hungry, rises. A study in the New England Journal of Medicine discovered that this hormonal shift will continue for more than a year after weight loss, fueling hunger and cravings. Muscle loss. The majority of limiting diets cause not just loss of fat, but also loss of significant amounts of muscle. Since muscle has a higher caloric burn rate compared to fat, this reduces your overall metabolic rate. Up to 25% of the weight loss on an average diet is lean muscle mass, according to the American Council on Exercise. Excess fat storage. After several cycles of dieting, your body becomes better at storing fat for the next famine. Over time, this can increase the proportion of visceral fat, the type of fat that surrounds organs and is linked with heart disease, diabetes, and other metabolic system diseases. These consequences aren't the result of a lack of willpower. They're a physiological response to deprivation. The obsession with weight loss, a cultural illness. So, why are we still getting caught out on the same tricks year after year? Because we've been sold a toxic lie. Thin is healthy, beautiful, and desirable. The National Eating Disorders Association, NEDA, states that children as young as 6 worry about their weight, and 80% of 10-year-olds have already tried dieting. We're bombarded with before and after photos, detox tea and magic pills, fitness accounts linking health to appearance, weight-shaming messages in the guise of wellness. These messages undermine self-esteem and foster guilt, restriction, and punishment instead of health. And the sour irony? The more obsessed we become with weight loss, the more likely we are to engage in behaviors that undermine our health and contribute to weight gain in the long run. The industry profits from your failure. One of the greatest underappreciated but fundamental explanations for how the diet industry contributes to obesity is precisely this. It's a repeat business venture. The American weight loss market had an estimated value of $78 billion as of 2023, reports market research firm IBIS World. But there's a catch. If the diets actually succeeded over the long term, the industry would be out of business. That's why many popular programs use short-term gimmicks to generate rapid weight loss that isn't sustained, blame the individual when the weight comes back instead of the flawed technique, promote shame-based marketing that exploits insecurity, argue against intuitive or flexible eating as freedom from dieting equals reduced profits. Your health isn't the goal. It's your repeat business. This cycle of weight loss and recovery accumulates body fat with the passage of time, specifically risky visceral fat, leading to increased health risks, the very same things diets vow to prevent. The real path to health. Hint, it's not another diet. Health is not found in a pill, cleanse, or rigid meal plan. If medically required weight reduction is required, it must be holistic, compassionate, and sustainable, habit-focused, not number-driven. Evidence-based support strategies include shaking off restriction and inviting nourishment in order to prioritize nourishing foods over eliminating pleasure. Emphasize fiber-rich fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean protein, and healthy fats without labeling foods good or bad. Honoring your body's signals so you can listen to the cues of hunger and fullness. According to research on intuitive eating, people who employ this approach have lower rates of disordered eating, better psychological health, and more stable weight over time. Moving for joy, not punishment, as exercise shouldn't be a punishment. Exercise actually increases mental health, sleep, and longevity regardless of weight loss. 150 minutes a week of moderate exercise is linked with less risk of chronic disease by the CDC, irrespective of BMI. Healing your relationship with food by maybe working with a therapist or a registered dietitian to help sort through emotional eating, body image, and food guilt. Redefining health as health is complex. It includes mental health, sleep stress, social connection, and body respect, not just body size. Final thoughts. The diet industry doesn't profit if you win. If you did, you'd no longer be buying from it. It profits from your fear, shame, and sense of failure. You are not a failure. The system is. Your body is not broken. It's responding exactly as it should to patterns of restriction and stress. The path to real health is not more control, more shame, or more punishment. It starts with compassion, care, and trust. You don't need to declare war on your body to be healthy. Actually, healing begins when you stop fighting it. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. The Hunter Schafer Legend of Zelda Casting Rumors and Drama Explained. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on June 3rd. If you've been scrolling on social media this past week and you've come across conversation about Hunter Schafer and The Legend of Zelda more than once, you are not alone. Over the last few years, we've been living a video game live-action renaissance, with Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, and Resident Evil paving the way in the aughts. More and more Hollywood studios are looking to consoles for inspiration for their next titles, and with great success. Take The Last of Us, for example, which has become one of HBO's most watched shows of all time, often beating its own viewership records. Next, we will also get an adaptation of the popular action role-playing game Elden Ring by A24. And, of course, Nintendo is also jumping on the wave and bringing on one of its most beloved IPs, The Legend of Zelda, to the real world with a live-action adaptation. If you've never played any of the Zelda games available on the market, allow us to recap them really quickly for you. Created by Shigeru Miyamoto, the video games are played through a silent protagonist, the Hylian hero named Link. Link is on his quest around the Kingdom of Hyrule to save Princess Zelda, the guardian of the Triforce of Wisdom. While details about the Legend of Zelda movie are pretty much still non-existent, there's chatter that the Euphoria star Hunter Schafer could be eyed to bring the famed princess to life, which has triggered all sorts of reactions online. If you are confused, we break down all the speculation and drama below. Is the Legend of Zelda movie really happening? Yes, the Legend of Zelda movie is very much a reality, and it is being co-produced by Sony and Nintendo. Production was first announced in 2023 with Wes Ball, Maze Runner, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, as director, Derek Connolly as screenwriter, and Zelda creator Shigeru Miyamoto as producer. ICYMI, Miyamoto also produced 2023's box office hit, The Super Mario Bros. Movie. Avi Arad, known for his work on the Spider-Man live-action movies and the Spider-Verse animated films, also serves as a producer. While not much else is known about the movie, Nintendo and Sony have already locked a March 26, 2027 premiere. When did Hunter Schafer's casting rumors for The Legend of Zelda start? Aside from the crew, Hunter Schafer's name is perhaps one of the first to be linked to The Legend of Zelda movie. But it is worth noting that so far, it's all rumors and speculation, as neither Nintendo nor Sony has spoken about casting yet. Hunter Schafer began being associated with the project after well-known scooper Daniel RPK, notorious for sharing Hollywood links, claimed she was in the talks to nab the role of Princess Zelda, with outlets like The Independent reporting on the rumors. When did the drama begin? While Hunter Schafer has long been a perfect dream cast for Zelda, given her striking resemblance to the character, drama began to unfold after popular aggregated news account At Screen Time reshared Daniel RPK's intel on X, formerly Twitter. The account's post, which accumulated almost 80 million views in barely 5 days, has been filled with vitriol. While many are leaving transphobic comments, plenty of others are speaking up in support of Schafer, claiming her casting would be more than perfect for the upcoming live-action and boiling down detractors to prejudice against trans people. Imagine being so bigoted you can't see this as the most perfect casting for Princess Zelda just because you're a transphobe, someone commented, with a side-by-side of Schafer and the character. She looks the part more than anyone I can think of, a second person wrote. The same people who complain about DEI because it prioritizes identity over skill will complain about Schafer because they don't like her identity, despite her having the skill and the looks for the part, a third one added. What has Hunter Schafer said? While Schafer has not yet reacted to the negative comments about her rumored casting, nor should she have to, she has previously addressed comparisons with the fictional character and opened up about how it would feel to play her. Back in 2022, after a fan edit of the actor as Zelda went viral on social media, Entertainment Tonight asked Schafer if she'd be down to bring the character to life at some point, and her response was an immediate yes. Not only that, but she's also a big fan of the game series. That would be so cool, Schafer said when asked if she could see herself portraying Zelda. I played that video game a bunch when I was a kid. That's such a good game. I've seen another wave of the fan cast and everything, which is just really sweet, Schafer added. I'm honored that they even think of me for that. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.